Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You've tuned in to American Family Radio, and we thank you, as always, for listening. And if you're a new listener, well, we welcome you to the listening family, as it were. I'm Tim Wildman, and Ray Pritchard is guest, is co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Ray. Ray, you there? Ray, he's getting more and more bashful. I don't know if it's gonna
I can hear him barely. He's way out there.
I don't know if it's going to work out.
He must be on the West Coast.
Anyway, Walker Wildman right there. That's the voice you're hearing, not Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
While we wait on Ray to get back on, is it going to work out, Adam? Adam's our technician over here.
Adam's working on it.
Okay, but Walker, tell folks what we're doing with our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page, because...
Yeah, right now, every day during every show from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Central, every story we talk about on the show will be on our Facebook page. You know, so if you don't get the entire story on our show, you can go to our Facebook page and read it yourself, do some studying, and get the news. And you can also comment and interact on our Facebook page.
Okay, we did a poor job with our Facebook page for the past few years. And I'll admit that I'm not going to take responsibility for it because I'm the president and you don't do that. I'm telling you, whoever was under me handling that, I didn't oversee them well. And so
blame it on a third party.
So, but now we've got that thing rolling. So Facebook is hopping for Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Dr. Ray Pritchard's now with me. You there, Ray?
I am here, Tim. Great to be with you and with you, Walker.
All right, my friend. Well, let's get started with Steve Jordahl from One News Now. He's in studio to tell us what's going on out there in the world. Steve?
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray and Walker. Top of the page at onenewsnow.com right now, we have a story about some research done by scientists at Johns Hopkins University. What they found was that there is very little evidence of the born that way claim that gay activists make about their sexuality, that there's no gay gene, or they don't find one anyway. And these are two researchers that, as far as we know, don't have an axe to grind. They're just trying to do some honest research, and they're finding that transgenderism and homosexuality is not something that people are born with.
Now, Johns Hopkins University, that's a very prestigious medical school.
In
Baltimore.
Yeah.
My brother went there, by the way, not a medical doctor, but another kind of doctorate.
Doctor. Yeah.
But so I'm familiar with the school, and that's interesting. So this doesn't fit in with the promote the claims, if you will, of the LGBT movement.
It doesn't. And in fact, they're quite upset about this.
Are they really?
They are. The Human Rights Campaign, which is a strongly misnomered group, anyway.
Doesn't that sound so good? Human rights?
Well,
group.
Who can oppose human rights?
Right. The Human Rights Campaign, HRC, that's one of the, not Hillary Rodham Clinton, that's different, HRC, but.
Not much different.
They're both in. They are in agreement on agenda. But the HRC, Human Rights Campaign, they're probably the largest LGBT organization in America.
They're the most active.
So they're not happy about these researchers?
No, in fact.
Why, what would they say? They say you are born this way?
They say that it's you're not made. I mean, you're born this way, as Lady Gaga would say. You're born this way.
These researchers, that's the first time in the history Lady Gaga has been quoted on Today's Issue.
Yeah. for Steve Jordahl.
Yeah, Steve Jordahl.
That's right.
I want to ask you about this. So they did a study. This is the Johns Hopkins University, two researchers and they're looking for a gene?
They were looking to see the genesis of homosexuality and transgenderism.
Oh, okay, I got you.
They wanted to know, find out, or at least add to the research that finds out where this comes from. Mm-hmm. And the evidence they're showing that reality right now in this country is that younger and younger kids actually are being labeled as either gay or transgender. Parents are coming alongside and trying to not know what else to do.
Ray, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, the fascinating thing about this article is if you read what's posted on One News Now, there's a link.
And you should.
And you should. That's right, you should. There's a link inside the article that goes to the journal called The New Atlantis. Mm. If you click on the executive summary, which is basically just the official findings of the folks from Johns Hopkins, it's really pretty shocking. It undermines from a scientific research point of view. I mean, as Steve pointed out, this isn't, they're not quoting any Bible here. Mm-mm. They're not coming from what we would call a biblical perspective at all. They're just looking at the science, and they're saying there is no scientific evidence that, quote, gays and lesbians are born that way. And they also say, as far as transgendered go, the evidence that a person might be, quote, a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body is, quote, not supported by scientific evidence. Mm-hmm. So the article on One News Now gives you the link, so you don't have to take our word for it, folks. Just go and read right. mm-hmm. what the researchers from Johns Hopkins says. It just completely undermines the gay, lesbian, transgendered worldview, which is why the HRC is fighting it so vehemently.
And they are, and they have contacted, I don't know that I've seen anywhere the word lawsuit, but they are pressuring Johns Hopkins, which to this point has been a fairly strong ally in its support of gay and lesbian rights. Mm-hmm. They are demanding a retraction. They're demanding censure for these two researchers.
Wow.
Science
be darned. I thought these people were for, these
tolerance.
Are the same liberals who were for tolerance.
You know, and another thing, Ray,
you don't hear that
Steve,
much anymore, do you?
The whole genesis are the background of the LGBT or the homosexual movement is that you can be whatever you want to be. On any day of the week, you can be whatever you want to be. But what people don't understand is in the term LGBT, T stands for transgendered.
Right.
And the transgender theory is that is literally that you can be whatever you want to be on any given day, but the homosexual movement says that you're born gay. And so what they don't want this to come to light, and I think that's why they've been kind of quiet on the transgender issue, is they're in their own terminology, they're defeating their own theory, because the homosexual movement says that you're born this way, or that's right. what they want to think. That's why they're battling this survey. But the transgender movement says that I can be what I want to be on any given day.
I don't know. I think it may be a little oversimplification to say that transgender people think that they can, that they go back and forth. That it's a psychological condition known as gender dysphoria that leads people to believe that they are the wrong gender. And
well, they would call it the right gender,
or a different gender from what they were assigned
at
birth.
Yeah, if they're a biological male. That leads them to they think
and there's always a time of transition, I suppose, where they waffle back and forth. I don't know too many people other than the pseudo transgender, the perverts that we keep warning people about at Target stores, etc., mm-hmm. that are trying to use the label as a way to get some nefarious or some icky stuff done.
Yeah, you know,
a real person with gender dysphoria is deeply troubled.
Look at Bruce/Caitlyn yeah. Jenner for mm-hmm. an example of how I just think that guy is all messed up in the head. And he will one day probably want to go back to being a man. Now, he's still a man. Don't get me wrong. He's still a man. If he really wanted to be a woman, he would have a surgery.
Well, this is the thing that bothers me, that strikes me, I should say, about the LGBT movement. They have to shout They have to coerce, they have to bully the activists, because everything that we see in nature, everything that our logic tells us, everything that we read in scripture, if that's something that's important to you, everything that we know psychology-wise points to a man and a woman created as a man and a woman, or born as a man and a woman, and with sexual attractions that go toward the opposite gender. That's kind of the norm. That's what is normal. And in order for the culture to believe that gay is normal, they have to continue shouting it, because everywhere anybody looks, they see evidence of the contrary. Don't look there. Don't look there. It's normal. Don't look there. You're bad if you don't believe it's normal. Don't look there.
Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So we got that story up about the two John Hopkins researchers at OneNewsNow.com who found that there is no their research has not led them to find a, quote, gay gene where you're born that way. Let me just say, Ray, I'd like you to respond. Then we'll move on to the next story here. And tell me maybe if I'm misguided in my response. When people tell me they're born that way, talking about being homosexual or transgendered or what, lesbian or whatever, my response is we're all born sinners. Okay, so I quite honestly don't really, if they want to say they're born that way, I'll just say, you know, I was a born sinner myself. So what I'm saying is I don't believe that that's true, that you're, quote, born that way. And so I think you can, even if you would argue, well, I was born with a tendency toward homosexuality, then you need to control yourself and live a celibate life and don't give in to the urges, because sin is defined as a rebellion against God's teaching, and we all have urges to do that in all kinds of different ways. And so I would say, so Ray, tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong at all, Tim. That, first of all, we are all made in the image of God, which means male and female. Also a statement about the great value that God places on us. And every human being is deeply valued, greatly loved, deeply fallen, and able to be redeemed. And it's that third point that you're talking about there. Was I born with a predilection, a preference for certain kinds of sins? Yes. And 64 years later, those tendencies are still with me. So if somebody wants to say, yeah, I was born this way, understand, if you're saying that God created you to be that way as a gay man or a lesbian, God didn't create you that way. But we understand that the tendencies you might feel within you are the same tendencies towards sin that we all feel. So there's no need for anybody to feel superior to anybody else. You know, we're all in the same boat, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All in the same boat. The boat's going down. If God doesn't do something, we're all going to sink together. And the good news is he's done something in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And the whole hope of the gospel is when you come to Christ, you can be changed from the inside out. And that includes all of us. We all need salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God. And you can be changed if you are a practicing homosexual or lesbian or other sinner, of, or otherwise sinner, adulterer, fornicator,
liar. The list goes on.
There's a list we could go down, but God can change you, and God can. We have testimonies of that a million times of how God changes people's lives and their desires. And redeems them. And so we encourage you to read the Bible and trust in God, and he will, he can set you free from whatever your bondage is. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Let me ask you, Steve, what's the next story you got there for us, my friend?
My former colleague and good friend David Brody has interviewed Donald Trump again, and he has a message for evangelicals. His message,
what's his message?
His message to evangelicals is, even if you don't like me, you need to vote for me because I'm going to put up good Supreme Court justices, unlike Hillary Clinton, who is going to put up what he says will be disaster on the Supreme Court and judges that could be with us for 30 or 40 years shaping the law. That's
by the way, the evangelical voting bloc is a very substantial one, a large one, millions of people represented in that category across the country. But I would hasten to say that there are conservative Catholics who are in large numbers out there across the country who, like evangelicals, are pro-life, pro-traditional marriage, pro-family, pro-biblical morality.
Yep.
And so I think Donald Trump is trying to appeal to those
no doubt
voters as well.
Voters of faith, I think you would say. I had a talk yesterday with pollster George Barna, who noted that evangelical voters, as he defines them, not just self-described evangelicals, but people that he has qualified by how often they attend church, what they believe about the Scripture and about Jesus, support Donald Trump in six key swing states. I don't think we talked about this on the show, but in six key swing states, up to 95% of those people are going to vote and do support Donald Trump because he's better than the alternative.
Well, and also...
Yes,
you're right about that. But I will say that the Supreme Court, that's a very smart appeal by Donald Trump to message to evangelical Christians and to conservative Catholics is that, and to other people too who love the Constitution, is that is I will, Donald Trump, promote to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Now, Donald Trump did something that I don't remember a Republican presidential candidate doing, Ray and Walker and Steve. And that is, he said explicitly during the last debate that he was going to, if he was elected, he's going to put, he called pro-life Supreme Court justices up for nomination. Did you hear that, Ray?
Well, I did, and he also, as we've talked about before, he actually came out with a list, right?
Yeah, he did. There
was an earlier list and a later list, and I think conservatives across the board look at that list and say, hey, just close your eyes and pick one. They will, any name on that list, infinitely superior to what Hillary Clinton would put on the Supreme Court. I'll tell you this, I'm thinking about, you know, looking at the polls and all that. It is so tight in Florida, Pennsylvania, in North Carolina, in Ohio. I think Mr. Trump could do himself good in these last closing days. The point, Steve, that he made to David Brody, I hope he will make it over and over again because there are lots of, as you said, Steve, a lot of voters of faith who are still thinking about this. He could close the deal if he would make the Supreme Court argument even more forcefully.
I think so. It's for values voters, and there is a large block of those out there. This is still issue number one. The abortion,
you mean the Supreme Court.
Well, abortion and marriage,
the pro-life, and
the effect,
and they're
on
intertwined.
The Supreme Court of those two issues, because we've seen the Supreme Court, in a sense, legalize gay marriage across the country. We've seen the Supreme Court back in 1973 legalize abortion across the country, and it has the abortion decision has meant the death of millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of unborn children over the years. So it's no secret that it's an important choice. What Donald Trump has done, he's kind of pulled the curtain back. And the reason you may not have heard a Republican candidate do this before is because they're not supposed to say they have a litmus test.
He doesn't know enough to know he's not supposed to say what he says.
They're not supposed to say that I'm only going to choose someone who will vote this way because the Supreme Court is supposed to be free of politics.
That was a backhanded compliment, by the way, to Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Because I will say this.
But every politician does it. Every president does it. They have a litmus test. They just can't admit it.
Right.
Yeah. But you're exactly right. But if you're being coached by Republican handlers, okay, or people who've been around politics professionally for a long time, they would normally tell a John McCain or a Mitt Romney or somebody like that, you're not supposed to say you're going to appoint pro-life judges. That's a no-no. You say something like, I'm going to appoint judges who follow the Constitution, something like that, because you want to stay away from the controversial part of the abortion debate. That's the smart thing to do. Well,
he went there.
Donald Trump, and again, I mean this as a compliment to Mr. Trump, he did not care that he said, he just said it like it was, and that was he was going to appoint pro-life, to his credit, he said, I'm going to appoint pro-life justices, judges. He did not try to hide it or finesse it or make it about semantics or leave you guessing where he stood on that issue. So, I say that to his credit. Walker, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say for some, and I would say for most of Christians, this should be the signature issue in this election. We've all come to the agreement that we have two flawed candidates, that there's no disputing that. But the issue of life is so stark right now that my wife was reading a Facebook post, a lady who lost her child, devastatingly lost her child. She was stillborn, you know, like 20-something weeks a couple years ago. And after watching the last debate where Donald Trump said, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges and we're going to quit essentially murdering babies in the womb, that lady who up until that moment was very wishy-washy on whether she was even going to vote. But she said after seeing how pro-life Donald Trump was and seeing the differences on that issue, she said she was then going to vote for Trump simply because he was pro-life.
Yeah, the contrast between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on the life issue, on the abortion issue, couldn't be starker.
You know, if you want to give credit out to Hillary Clinton, okay, give it out this way. She didn't hold back, did she?
Right.
She didn't try to cover up. She was as plain spoken. I can rarely remember a Democrat candidate being as blunt about abortion. She's in favor of abortion. Unrestricted all the way through. So she made her views clear. And, you know, there are people out there who support that. Fine. Donald Trump made his view clear. So the American people, if you ever wanted a crystal clear choice on the issue of life, unborn human life, well, we've got it in this election. And I just want to say again, I hope Mr. Trump, Drudge says there are 300 hours left in the campaign. Well, I hope in those 300 hours he'll bring this issue up again and again, because evangelicals, this is, as you said, Walker, this is an issue that really motivates values voters, especially evangelical Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We're going to talk more about the election a little bit later on, but on the pro-life issue, Donald Trump has staked out his position as one of pro-life, and Hillary Clinton has staked out her position. And as I say, both are proud of their positions, as Ray just referenced. Hillary Clinton is proud of the fact that she's for abortion up to the moment the baby can make it out of the birth canal. If the baby can make it out of the birth canal, I guess she's for it living, but up until that point, she's okay with it being aborted.
Yeah, the scariest part of that debate for me is when Donald Trump said that she is okay with up to 9-month abortions.
And she didn't
argue
that.
She did not dispute that, which is in my term, shows her position, and that's very frightening to me.
Really quickly, a new poll we're taking at onenewsnow.com. Go there, and we want to know if your church is hosting a community-themed event this Halloween.
Okay. Go to onenewsnow.com.
Onenewsnow.com.
So if you say, Tim, I've never been polled before, I'd like to be polled.
There you go.
Then you can go to onenewsnow.com and take our survey and consider yourself polled.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Gentlemen.
Onenewsnow.com. Hey, our good friend Todd Starnes, who always makes me a little nervous when he's on with us, not knowing exactly what he's going to say, will be with us momentarily. Stay with us for more. Hey, we won that Christmas in the Mall in Florida. We'll tell you about it.
American Family Radio presents Pray and Vote.
In Jesus' name.
If we as God's people will humble ourselves and pray, He will hear our prayers and heal our land. On Tuesday, November 1st, just a week before Election Day, Tim Wildman, Franklin Graham, and others will pray for the elections and for our nation. God is our one true hope. Listen to American Family Radio Tuesday, November 1st, beginning at 5 Central for Pray and Vote.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Christmas carolers in Sarasota, Florida will not have to sing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer in Latin after all. The University Town Center Mall is backing away from a letter that was sent to local choir groups. The singers were told to stay away from any Christian music or Christmas carols sung in English. Carols performed in Spanish, French, or German were just fine, though. The American Family Association got a hold of that letter and sprang into action. Just a few hours later, the mall issued an apology. So there's no need for all of you carolers to sign up for Rosetta Stone, thanks to the good folks over at the American Family Association. You know, I was kind of feeling sorry for the kids who were going to have to sing Jingle Bells in Cantonese. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, that's vintage Todd Starnes right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Couldn't come at a better time.
That's right, exactly right. With Todd, you know, 99 times out of 100, you're gonna laugh and then as a Christian broadcaster, there's that 1% where you go, I probably shouldn't have said that word on Christian radio. Hey, we got the culprit himself on the phone from New York. I guess are you in New York, Todd?
Oh, I'm in New York. Tim, you don't know how long it took me to find a Chinese version of Jingle Bells.
Thank you for going to that work, doing all that work to dig that up, to find that up. I find that this story, which we had yesterday on one of our action alerts. Our action alerts are sent out all across the country to thousands and thousands of people, nearly a million.
1.4 million.
Yeah. And what it had to do with what you were just talking about there in the commentary, there's a mall in Sarasota. Isn't it Sarasota?
Sarasota, Florida.
Tell us what happened there, Todd.
Well, the mall had every year they have groups come in, choral groups, and they sing Christmas carols and do very nice things like that. And they use an outside agency there in Sarasota to handle the organization of lining up the choirs and things of that nature. So anyway, the choir groups there in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area received this memorandum from a group there that organizes
right.
the performances. And in this letter, they told the choirs that they didn't want them to perform any recognizable Christian music.
That was a quote.
That was a quote,
wow.
Including Christmas carols sung in English. And they said that if you sang the carols or the holiday music in a foreign language, like Latin or French or Spanish, that would be okay. That would be permissible.
Now, we are not making this up. Todd's not making this up. You can go and read about this two places. One is If you go to AFA.net, AFA.net, which many of you did yesterday when we were talking about this story, you can on the right side, you can read the action alert about this, AFA.net. So, again, to reset, just so you'll understand, folks, what happened in here. And this kind of thing, when we say war on Christmas, and people laugh and mock us and say there's no war on Christmas, come on, Wildman, you guys are just making this up. No, we're not. This is the kind of example of what is happening. There are little things, there are little brush fires that are going on all over the country where the secularists are attacking Christmas. They do want to shut down Christmas. It's intentional because it reminds people of the birth of Jesus Christ and our Christian heritage in this country. That's why they want to change Christmas. So it is real. It is an intentional effort to censor out Christmas. And in this case, there's this mall in Sarasota. What's the name of the mall, Todd?
University Town Center.
Okay. So, you know, everybody listen to me right now, most everybody, unless you live way, 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 way out in the sticks, you go to the mall sometime during November or December. Once, even if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. You go to the mall, and usually there's groups up there on a stage somewhere, and they're singing. And they're groups from church choirs to school choirs to whatever. Well, and they're up there singing Christmas music. Why? Because it's Christmas season. And guess what? Somebody sat down at the mall and said, we're going to put out this memo. Somebody helped me draft this, I guess. Maybe two minds worked on this. And they said, we got to some way tell these groups they can't sing Christian music during when they're here for Christmas. Now, how do we word this? Well, read it, Todd. Read the memo. You got it right there in front of you?
I've got it right in front of me. Okay. You know, my chicken fried steak stained fingers.
Okay. read this brilliant memo these people came up with.
It says, holiday music, please. For choral groups, the mall prefers no clearly recognizable Christian music, such as carols sung in English, spirituals, or gospel. So Madea songs are out, too. Classical holiday music or music sung in a foreign language, such as Latin, French, Spanish, Italian, or German, is fine.
So, Ray, as long as you can sing the Christmas carols, as long as you don't sing them in English where people might understand them.
Tim, it's so hard to understand this because forever, right, as long as there have been malls, they have been playing Jingle Bells, and they have been playing Silent Night and Hark the Herald Angels Singing, and, you know, all of it, the secular and the Christian Christmas music. Todd, do we know what they were thinking? Somebody like the Freedom from Religion, did somebody write them a letter to pressure them into this, or what was behind this policy in the first place?
Well, fortunately, one of your listeners there in the area sent me an email, and they forwarded me a copy of the action alert that you guys sent out. And so as soon as we received that information, we called the parent company of the mall. This mall is owned by a company out of the Midwest. And they had no idea that this had happened. So they called the local folks, and according to them, and it's verified on the memorandum, the local mall used an outside agency to organize the choirs. And they did not run this memorandum by the folks there at the local mall. This is what they're telling us.
So maybe it was one anti-Christian bigot.
Possibly.
Well, that would be good if it was only one.
But I think the bigger story here is really this idea that when you see something like this and you let people know so people can take action, it will facilitate change. And I think that's the story here is that the American Family Association and all of the folks who support you guys went out there and facilitated this change.
Yeah, and we that's right. And we want to thank everyone who called and or emailed and wrote about this to the company because the mall changed their tune within hours. Sorry for the pun. They changed their tune within hours because of the action of our people, Walker,
yeah.
who took action.
Yeah. Hey, Todd, you've written on this and other stories. Where can people find that?
Yeah, toddstarns.com. So we have all sorts of great, crazy stories for folks to read out there.
Toddstarns.com. Todd joining us from New York. Got that thick Brooklyn accent we can hardly understand, but we'll see if we can get through the interview.
I'll have to give you a teaser. You know, Christmas is still a ways away, but speaking of thick Brooklyn accents, we're having a bluegrass band that's going to perform on my annual Christmas show. And guys, the bluegrass band, they're a bunch of Italians from Jersey.
Are you serious?
Yes, Tim, and they're amazing. They could be from Mississippi.
Italian Jersey boys playing bluegrass.
Yep.
In New York City.
In New York City. We're going to bring them for the Christmas show.
Okay, when is your Christmas show?
Well, we're going to be taping it December the 6th over at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. And we've got a great line. We have Jason Crabb coming.
Yeah.
And Meredith Andrews. So we got some great talent. And the Sleepy Man Banjo Boys.
You know, I'm singing now.
Then maybe we could get like a quartet together.
Well, you have to call my agent.
Call his agent.
Because I make a deal. I may be all booked up by then, but you can.
Get Walker, we can have like a boy band or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll jump
Jim
in there.
Stanley, yeah.
I'll play the fiddle.
Okay, so so people can come to Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis for those who live close. We have a lot of listeners in the Mid-South. They may want to drive to the church. And that's a tape show that's going to be on the Fox News Channel?
Yeah, it'll air on the American Family Radio as well.
Okay.
So this will be the third year we've done it. We'll put more information out about that next month.
When is it again?
The taping is December the 6th. It's a Tuesday night.
Okay. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening, folks, AFR. Walker, real quickly before we go to the next topic with Todd, we have something that people are going to be to express their feelings on Christmas, don't
we? Yeah, if you're upset about the mall, we're thankful they've apologized. But if you're upset—
Those kinds of things happening,
people trying to censor Christmas and take the word Christ or the name Christ out of Christmas— then you can be proud of Christmas, and the one way we're doing that is our Christmas wristbands. They say "Keep Christ in Christmas." They have a little green cross on. They're red.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're red, white, and green. And you can visit afastore.net. That's afastore.net, or you can visit our Facebook page at Today's Issues and find out how you can get your "Keep Christ in Christmas"
wristband.
These are
some of the best looking bracelets you'll ever find, and they say "Keep Christ in Christmas." It's a red wristband with white print, and you're going to love them.
I'm going to send Todd a couple.
Okay, send Todd a couple, and check them out, folks. AFAstore.net, we've got them available now, and we want you to share them far and wide and give them to as many people as you can. They're not very expensive at all. They're at AFAstore.net. It says "Keep Christ in Christmas," so go and check that out. AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. Walker has a link to it.
Yeah,
on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Now, Todd, on a more somber note, is a story you're reporting out of, even though what we've just discussed is serious. We had a lot of fun with that issue, but that is a serious problem. These attacks on Christmas that are going on across the country by these secularists. But tell us what's happening. Tell us the story you've got out about the pastor in Georgia.
There's a Seventh-day Adventist lay minister named Eric Walsh, Dr. Eric Walsh. He had been hired by the Georgia Department of Public Health. This guy is very prominent and renowned in the field of public health. But just shortly after he had been hired, just within a matter of a few days, the staff there at the Georgia Department of Public Health began investigating his sermons, some of which had been placed online, and they were very alarmed at some of the content, some of the things he preached about, including issues regarding health, marriage, and what the Bible says about homosexuality, pretty much typical of what you would hear any pastor preach from the pulpit. And shortly after that, he was fired. He wasn't even allowed to start the job. He was fired. So Dr. Walsh is now suing the Georgia Department of Public Health. He's represented by our friends at the First Liberty Institute. And just a few days ago, the Attorney General of the state of Georgia issued an order, basically discovery. They're asking for a lot of documents, and among the documents they want the pastor to turn over are all of his sermon notes and his sermon transcripts. In other words, the state of Georgia is demanding this pastor turn over his sermons to the government.
Now, Todd, just to clarify here, there's no question at all about his background or his, quote, academic qualifications for this public health position. I mean, isn't this really an attack by the state on his views as a conservative Christian? I mean, they're not saying you're not qualified in terms of your academic background or anything like that, right?
That's correct. This has nothing to do with his qualifications as a public health officer. This is only applicable to what he said from his church's pulpit. Now, as a quick backstory, the reason he was looking for a job is because he was forced out of his position as the head of the public health department out in California because, again, LGBT activists got a hold of sermons he had delivered, and the rancor became so unbearable that he was forced out of that job. So, again, it has nothing to do with his qualifications. It has everything to do with what he preaches from the pulpit.
By the way, do you know whatever happened? We need to get Kelvin Cochran on. He's the former fire chief for Atlanta. He got fired for basically the same reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, he got terminated because he had written a Bible study for his church where he said marriage is only between a man and a woman, and may even called homosexuality a sin. Which would be biblical, by the way. But he was then brought in by the mayor of the city of Atlanta. This is a couple of years ago, and fired for his religious beliefs. He had not done anything inappropriate at work. In fact, he was commended by President Obama's administration for being an excellent fire chief in a major metropolitan area like Atlanta, Georgia. Do you know whatever happened? Have you talked to Kelvin recently, Todd?
I have, yes. So Chief Cochran is suing the city of Atlanta, and so that case is still being adjudicated. But he's suing for religious discrimination, just like Dr. Walsh is. But yesterday they held a big press conference at the state capitol, and Dr. Walsh says he will not turn over his sermon notes.
I talked
with Jeremy Dice, who's the first Liberty Institute attorney, and he said, you know, if the attorney general wants to play hardball, they could go to the judge, and the judge could demand that he either turn over those notes or he could be held in contempt of court. So we'll have to see how the attorney general responds here.
It's the it's the principle of the thing, Ray.
It is.
And Todd and Walker, it's the principle of the thing. Under normal conditions, if I were a pastor and somebody wanted my sermon notes, I'd make as many copies of them as they wanted. Because I have nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. I want people to know the truth of the Bible that I'm proclaiming. Mm-hmm. However, in this situation, folks, what's going on is you have intimidation at work here.
Yeah.
The Attorney General of the state of Georgia is that an elected or appointed position? Todd, do you know?
Not sure, but I will say this. The governor of Georgia is Nathan Deal, who is a Republican. And this is a Republican who shot down an effort to push through a religious liberty bill, which would have protected people like Chief Cochran and Dr. Walsh from this kind of activity, this kind of behavior.
You know, Todd, this is concerning because, like you just mentioned, last year Georgia tried to pass a religious freedom law, which we all got behind. Only for big business.
It was passed in the legislature.
Right. It was ready for the governor to sign. Only for the elites, the business elites like Coca-Cola, some of these other companies to come into Georgia and say, y'all don't need to pass this. There's no reason for this. This is discriminatory. And the governor's main excuse was, look, we don't have any.
It's unnecessary.
He said it's unnecessary. We don't have any examples of people being discriminated against.
I guess the governor was wrong because it was necessary. And I will say this. I think in that situation, and I don't know, what's the governor's name again in Georgia?
Nathan Deal, D-E-A-L.
Okay, I do not know Governor Deal, and maybe I'm sure he's a fine man, but he cowered on this one, and now we see what's happening to our brother over here, and it could have been prevented with a state religious liberty protection law. Go ahead, Todd.
Tim, the concern here with Dr. Walsh is that, again, what he said from the pulpit had nothing to do with his job. So just imagine you are a police officer and you teach a Sunday school class.
Right.
Somebody in Georgia, could go and complain. You could lose your job as a result of teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the church choir.
Has the Attorney General's office had any response to the criticism?
No, we reached out to them multiple times and they did not return our calls. So, Tim, we posted the Attorney General's phone number on our Facebook fan page, and we figured if they weren't going to talk to us, maybe they would talk to 250,000 of our followers.
Todd, so you at Todd Starnes Facebook page, you put his phone number up there?
We posted the phone number to the Attorney General as well as the governor's office.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim. Todd Starnes joining us from New York. Walker Wildman in studio with us, and also Ray Pritchard from Dallas here as we discuss some things that are happening. And did you want to say something else?
Yeah, Parker? Hey, Todd, it's unfortunate that we even have to address these issues. The fellow shouldn't have to turn over sermons. But don't you think cases like this are winnable?
Oh, I think they're absolutely winnable because, again, you know, the interesting component of the Dr. Walsh case is they were actually, the staff members in the health department were actually emailing back and forth trying to find stuff that they could, you know, pin on him. And the only reason we know that is because they inadvertently, in the course of emailing back and forth, emailed Dr. Walsh. So we have the entire email chain.
You know, another thing, another overarching issue here, folks, is this is what's going on in our country. That is, there is a push by many people to force Christians in particular who have a religious objection to the homosexual lifestyle. Doesn't mean we hate anybody. Anything like that. They project these bad attitudes about homosexuality or about the homosexual people onto us just because we would say, yes, that's a sinful behavior. Then they want to say, well, you're a hater or you're a bigot. But here's what's going on here, which I reject. But anyway, nonetheless, they've been successful at projecting that on Christians who would say this behavior is sin. But here's what's going on, Todd and Ray Walker, is that they want you to bow the knee, and if you don't bow the knee, you're not going to get a job, or you're going to be fired, or you're going to be run out of business. That's the danger. That's the most dangerous. Not that somebody disagrees with me and would say, Wildman, I don't agree with you. I don't think this is a sin. I think it's a perfectly acceptable behavior. And I'd say, okay, well, God bless you, brother. That's your belief. I'm reading the Bible here and what it says. But what's going on here is what Tammy Bruce, who is a lesbian talk show host, or talk show host who happens to be a lesbian, she calls what's going on here is the act of the gay Gestapo. That was her term, Todd, where they are trying to shut down all free speech, any dissent, and punish people for holding a view that's contrary to the LGBT agenda. Go ahead.
Tim, you're exactly right. And Tammy is a dear friend of mine. And we certainly have disagreements on certain issues.
Right.
But I defend her right to say what she wants to say. And she would do the same for me. You know, look, I'm a Southern Baptist. Dr. Walsh is a Seventh-day Adventist. There are significant theological differences between our denominations. But you know what? I will stand and defend Dr. Walsh's, you know, his right to practice his religion in the public marketplace. And I think that he would do the same thing for me as a Southern Baptist. That doesn't mean I have to agree with everything, but at least, you know, we have that right under the Constitution. And that we are in a very dangerous position in America right now, where it's not enough that, you know, they're trying to shut you down in the public marketplace. Now they want to try to shut you down inside your church building. And that's the next battleground in this war on religious liberty.
You know, it's a terrifying thing, Todd, to think that in the case of the Mr. Cochran up in Atlanta. You can't be a fire chief if you hold traditional views about morality. You can't work for the public health service in Georgia if you hold views of traditional morality. Put what's happening in Georgia, if you would, in terms of the bigger context of the religious liberty battle going on here in America.
Well, I suspect we are heading towards a time when Christianity, significant portions of the Bible could be outlawed as a result of hate speech laws. And it's not out of that realm of possibility. I mean, if you know, because you attend a Baptist church in Atlanta, that makes you unqualified to be the fire chief. I mean, what does that say for the rest of us? Remember Louis Giglio, who runs the incredible Passion Ministries and those great worship service and events. You know, the Obama administration deemed him unacceptable to deliver a prayer at the inauguration because he had preached a message about traditional marriage more than 20 years ago. So if someone like Louis Giglio is not acceptable, what does that say about the rest of us?
Yeah, don't forget, one of the most high-profile examples of this was the founder of Mozilla, which is one of the internet search engines. I got that right, right?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
And that's about as high-tech as I'm going to go. But anyway, Bob Iger, what was his name? Wasn't it Iger? Or anyway, the gentleman's name, he was the founder of Mozilla and Firefox, and he got fired. Well, he resigned. He was forced into resignation when it was found out that he had given $1,000 to the pro-marriage movement. Prop 8 in California in 2008. So all they did was find out that he had given a donation. And by the way, the majority of California citizens voted for the very same thing he gave money to support. And yet, this is what's happening. This is the danger going on across the country, is that the people, the LGBT political and movement, they want to punish people who don't agree with them. That's
Tim.
Go ahead, Scott.
You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, not just Mozilla, the head of Sacramento, California's musical theater, one of the best in the country, was forced to step down from his position because he donated money to the Prop 8 campaign to support traditional marriage. The nicest guy in the world, an incredible artist, but he was deemed not worthy to hold a job, and he's not a multi-bazillionaire. He's just a regular working guy.
Well, what I'm concerned about is we're going to reach the point pretty soon, if this isn't stopped, where it's going to be, you're going to have to sign a piece of paper saying I have no objections to LGBT, or before you can get a job, go to the HR and fill out your insurance papers. And then also make sure you sign that LGBT approval.
Yeah. And Tim, I know our time is short, but just to back up that point, just a few months ago, volunteer chaplains in the juvenile prison system in Kentucky were told, you have to sign that document stating homosexuality is not a sin or you can't be a chaplain here. Mm. That's where we're at.
That's where we are, and it's going to get worse if the wrong person gets in the White House. Because the pressure will be amped up in incredible ways. Listen, Todd, thanks so much. What is your Facebook or website, whatever you want to promote?
Well, thanks, guys. It's toddstarns.com, and that's sort of the landing place for all of our social networking sites, too.
Thank you very much, Brother Todd.
Thanks, fellas.
I got to check out that Italian Jersey bluegrass band. Make sure you're not making that up.
The youth guys.
Okay. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.